WSBGRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello again, everybody. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan, and joining me is Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan. And for the next 15 minutes, we're going to talk about Notre Dame's recent win over Seton Hall in men's basketball and get into the Darius Walker situation, update on recruiting, and coaching changes on the Notre Dame football staff. So yesterday, the Irish nearly blow a big lead to Seton Hall, but hang on for a 12-point win and move to 3-1 in the Big East. Bram, I know you had some observations on the game. Why don't we throw it over to you to get started?
Yeah, I thought I did watch the game. I thought they played, again, like everybody's saying all year long, great team basketball. These guys really move the ball. They go to the right spots. They attack the basket. These guys play well. They're a lot of fun to watch. It was neat to hear the announcers kind of, too. I mean, they even said it themselves. Hey, this is unlike Notre Dame basketball teams we've seen in the past. They get after it. They extend the defense. Every shot is contested. You look at the stats after the game, we shoot better than 50% from the floor, 70% from the free throw line. We out-rebound them. We did have 15 turnovers, not what you want to see, but that was one of the higher turnover games for us. But overall, they just played really well.
But here's a few problems. So, I mean, things are going well, but I think a few areas of concern. It's got to be the turnover situation with Jackson and Peoples running the point guard position without Kyle McElhinney. But also, you know, Russell Carter is kind of runs hot and cold. And attitude-wise, I know that the announcers on TV touched upon this a little bit. He's a pouter.
Yeah, he did yesterday especially, and that was the only sore spot in the whole game. They basically kind of ripped him. Carter came off the floor after missing a 40-foot shot with 20 seconds left on the shot clock.
A 40-foot shot?
I'm not 40, but, I mean, it was well deep.
Okay, your range from where you shoot it from.
Yeah, deep enough to where he airballed it. Let's just say
I tell you, if Brammer thinks it was deep, it was deep, okay?
Yeah, he walks right, and I mean walk, didn't jog off, he walks right by Bray, doesn't say a word, sits down, and doesn't say anything to anybody on the bench, and kind of pouts. And the camera followed him the whole way, so not a good situation there.
Right, but look, you got to balance that with the fact that a lot of different personalities, and you know, one thing he has given us is explosiveness. And the fact that it may be a problem for us going forward, okay, we have to flag it and deal with it. But you know what? Bray has been dealing with it and dealing with it successfully. He's a guy who's got to be mentally engaged and excited to play. And then you're going to get some great play from him. Okay? If you try and squelch that too much, you might be taking his best thing.
Right, and this is where Bray's ability comes into play, and he's been doing an unbelievable job this year, no doubt about it. I mean, you can say what you want, but Mike Bray has been a big part of the success of this team this year. So I got to have confidence in him. He's done it up to this point. He'll corral him. He'll get the situation fixed. It was visible for everybody to see, so I'm sure Bray saw it. So I'm sure he's going to address it.
Yeah, okay, now big game coming up for Notre Dame against on the road at Villanova. Ed is a Villanova grad. where do your loyalties lie in this one?
Oh, boy, you put me on the spot. It is the one time a year that I root against the Irish.
Okay, so basically, your input here.
I'm a graduate institution. Whoa. I have friends there, close friends there. I'm part of the program for years.
Right.
It's where I went to school.
Right. Okay, sell out.
So it's tough. It is very difficult.
Well, okay, aside from your divided loyalties here, Trader, what is your assessment of Villanova this year? You know, they've obviously, Jay Wright's had that program really on the rise. Where are they this year?
Well, they have not played as well as they could have in some. They've lost to some people that I'm not really sure that they should have been losing to. Let's see. They've lost to Xavier in a close one. They lost to Drexel. I didn't like that at all. Lost to West Virginia. Lost to DePaul, but they actually played well and lost at the end. And then they just recently lost to Syracuse. On the good side, they have a really good win against Georgetown. They played great defense. That is one of the things that the Irish, I think, are going to struggle with. Villanova plays very good defense. When Jay Wright first started coaching this team, I thought, you know, boy, they just put the ball up a lot from all places. And, it, you know, for a guy who was there under the Massimino era, in which he was very careful about who shot the ball and when, and he worked the ball and passed the ball, and here all these guys were suddenly putting it up, and it kind of made me think, geez, that's not Villanova basketball. But one thing he did great, and he did from the very beginning, just super defense. These guys are all over, and they will man you up all over the floor, and that's going to be a problem for us, I think, without
McElhinney. Yeah.
McElhinney.
Well, those teams traditionally have been the teams that have given Notre Dame real fits in the Big East, in particular, teams that really extend the defense, you know, get out in your shorts and are very athletic. So it will be a real interesting to see how we match up with them. Now, here's the one thing I like. Again, this guy, Zach Hillisland, is, I think, he's about my favorite player on the team. Heron Godey's right up there as well. But Hillisland allows you to spread the floor a little bit with his athleticism, the way he handles the ball, and, you know, take advantage of that pressure defense because he can beat people off the dribble.
Yeah, he can. And actually, in yesterday's
game, he's
6'9".
I mean, he's a big guy.
Twice he brought the ball up court and then ended up exploding all the way to the basket for a layup. So you don't usually see that from 6'9 guys.
Yeah, and that could cause problems for Nova, depending on who's going to match up with him. I mean, they go, Shane Clark, Dante Cunningham, Will Sheridan, they're forward
Shumpert.
6'7", 6'8".
Sumpter.
6'8".
Is Sumpter back?
Sumpter, yeah.
Yeah, Sumpter is 6'7". And is their leading point scorer, can sort of do everything. But who's Sumpter going to guard? That's okay. And yeah, after that, then the other guys who might be on Hillisland, I don't know. Maybe that's how.
Yeah, I've seen Villanova play twice this year, and I would say the one deficiency that they've usually had a luxury of is that number three point, that three guard slot. They don't have the athletic kid that they've had in the past there.
Right. That's what made them so good in the last couple years.
I mean, they were so tough when Dinardi's at the point.
Nardi.
Yeah. Nardi.
You know, they had Foy.
Foy. Right. They don't have that this year.
Well, isn't it funny? They went from four guards last year, was so successful, right? And as you look at, they list Sumpter as a forward. Then there's Nardi as a guard. He's a senior. And then a kid named Scotty Reynolds is a freshman. And then Shane Clark, Dante Cunningham, Will Sheridan, all forwards. And then they got a guy, Dwayne Anderson, who they list as guard/forward, and a guy named Bill L. Ben, guard/forward, right? And then a couple other guards who don't get much playing time. So suddenly, from a guard-oriented team, they're now a forward-oriented team.
Yeah. So a little change in style, and maybe that results that's why we see them off to a 1-3 start in the Big East. But they're still going to be a very formidable opponent. I mean, they recruit well. They got great athletes.
Notre Dame trouble.
Oh, Notre Dame has not had any success against Villanova since they joined the Big East. They really haven't. So I think a key guy is going to be, again, Hillisland. His line yesterday against Seton Hall, nearly a triple-double. He had 12 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Not bad from a guy off the bench, you know, a 6'9 guy off the bench who's handling the ball for you. So, again, he's a huge key. Heron Godey breaks into the starting lineup yesterday in place of Luke Zeller, who only played 3 minutes. Zeller only getting 3 minutes. I think this is a good sign because I think if you're going to criticize Mike Bray, being too loyal might be one of the things you point to. And making the switch to put Heron Godey in the lineup ahead of Zeller, who he's very loyal to, I think that's a good sign.
Yeah, and I think Hillsland started yesterday, too.
He came off the bench.
Did
he? Kurz, Heron Godey, Jackson, Falls, and Carter were the starting lineup. Jonathan Peoples played a key role yesterday. You know, again, a guy who's developing and wasn't figured into the mix this year, but is now having to step up. 19 minutes.
And how do you think he played?
19 minutes, 9 points. He did have 4 turnovers.
Yeah, no, he hit 3 big, huge threes, wide open looks, and he drilled them. One of them was at a critical state, too. They were making a run, and he drilled it.
Two for two on threes.
Mike Sullivan, you may have to eat a little crow on that one.
That's right.
On Peoples?
You had some serious reservations.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Oh, here it comes.
In the previous two games he played, he didn't show a lot. So against Seton Hall, he steps up, has a great game.
Now is the time on our show where Mike backpedals.
Did I ever say that Peoples is never going to be anything? I said at this point, Peoples.
I think so.
You said you were disappointed in him.
To be disappointed. No, that's
you said stronger stuff to me.
That's not true.
He's a waste. We're not going to get anything from him.
That's ridiculous. You're making that up. Peoples can't be disappointed in him. I had no expectations in him. He was not expected to get any meaningful minutes. So disappointment only exists when there's an expectation. He simply said as Peoples struggles handling the ball. And he led the team in turnovers yesterday with 4 in 19 minutes. So I think what I said was pretty accurate.
Isn't it amazing how he could go from being completely explaining why he was completely wrong, and at the end of it, he was completely wrong.
Okay, moving right along. Again, Irish off to a great start in the Big East at 3-1. Okay, let's turn our attention to football. Darius Walker jumps to the NFL. I'm sure that, Ed, you probably predicted that all along, being the insightful seer that you are. You probably were not surprised by that.
I didn't predict it, but I'm not surprised by it. I think, actually, I like to see kids stay in school and graduate. That's the general rule. But, let's face it, this is a different kind of world we live in than 25, 30 years ago. And he had to go. He's got guys coming who are going to be taking carries from him next year. He had a great game against what is recognized as one of the top teams in the country, so at least in the first half he did. His stock was at its zenith. Get in the draft, and fine, come back and finish your education.
Yeah, I have no doubt
his mother will make him do that. But if he stays another year, he's going nowhere but down.
Yeah, the other thing is, don't forget, this is a guy that got $1 million settlement prior to coming another
year. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, just because I think it changes the mentality of, all right, what am I going to do as far as heading out, making money in this?
Well, hang on. So because he's got a lot of money in the bank, he needs to go into the NFL draft early?
No, I think it's obvious that you go when the timing's right. And it clearly is right for him.
Agreed, but not because he has $1 million in the bank. The timing's right for him because his stock's never going to be any higher. And next year with a new quarterback, a rebuilt offense, and freshmen pushing him for playing time, he's not going to have a better year next year.
I think that if you look at it, what are the chances I'm going to be exposed in a BCS bowl game next
year
and have the same kind of – I mean, the typical reaction immediately was knee-jerk. Oh, my God, what is he doing? But then when you think it through, it clearly made sense.
Well, there's two issues. Does it make sense for him? Yeah, I think it does. Second issue is he going to be a success in the NFL? And I don't think the guy is an NFL back. I mean, he may have a few years as a
he'll be a specialized
third
guy.
Down back or something.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, passing
situation.
He catches
the ball out of the If
he continues
backfield,
to, he blocks well, does a decent job of picking up the blitz. He's smart and knows where to be to pick up the blitz. He's not overly physical as a blocker, but I think he's smart and knows.
Don't be surprised if he ends up with the New England Patriots.
He's that kind of guy. You never know.
Yeah, I agree.
He's that kind of player. Yeah. He really is. I mean, he's the guy that's...
Yeah, it's going to have to be a team that has, a specialized need for what he does well, a team that, like the Patriots, who is built as much on chemistry as it is on talent. And, that'd be a great fit for him, obviously. So I think, good move for Darius Walker from the standpoint of his personal stock. Whether or not he becomes an NFL star, I don't know. But, Ed, to address your point, I think this is the kid who is definitely going to come back and get his degree. I don't think you have to worry about that from what you know of him in the press. He seems like he's got his head on straight.
Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, coaching changes. We touched upon this last week a little bit. No formal announcement has been made yet, but all indications are that Corwin Brown will be the new defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. And I think the initial reaction is there's two camps. Some people that are a little concerned that here's a guy that has never been a coordinator on any level, and others that feel like, hey, he's got a great coaching pedigree and a reputation for being an up-and-comer in the coaching ranks. Ed, where do you fall on that issue?
I think that it's going to be the chances are it's going to be a great choice by Charlie. His lack of experience as a coordinator. I mean, at some point you got to take that step. And the way to get brilliant guys like that is to give them a chance, in something like this. And I think it's going to be a great hire. I really do. Charlie's shown that he knows who to get. He knows people are going to fit in his system. I think he's going to be fine, and I think it probably needed to happen. And I'll say this. All along, I thought Charlie was a guy where he would not be afraid to do something tough on his own staff if people didn't produce the results he wanted. I think this has nothing to do with public clamor for a change. He had an internal standard. Something was not met by Minter, and so Charlie made a change. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, Bram?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, again, at this point in time, you got to defer to Charlie. And granted, this guy doesn't have the experience maybe he'd like at Notre Dame, but if this guy clearly is one of the best that's out there, then give credit to Charlie and let him do his thing. I mean, if he's got confidence in him, I got confidence in him.
Right, exactly.
You got to believe this is the right move.
The guy's no dummy, and it knows football, has been around. The football world knows who the names are, who the top guys are.
That's his contact exactly. In the NFL, he would be able to make the phone calls and say, tell me, is this guy for real?
Who's out there? Who are the guys out there that are sure. I should keep my eye on? Now,
well, the Jets head coach.
Former Patriots assistant.
Former Patriots assistant, exactly. So that's going to be, he's going to know if this guy can do it or not.
Oh, now, what's interesting is, Peter Voss, apparently, the quarterback's coach, has been let go as well and is going to be replaced by Ron Paulus. Now, people can easily point to the production on the field of Rick Minter's defense and say, well, that's why he was fired. It's a little more difficult to look at the quarterback production in the last 2 years and say, Peter Voss being fired makes sense. Here's what I think is partially happening. We all agree that the talent level on the defense isn't there in order for Notre Dame to compete with the elite teams in the country. Agreed? Right?
Yes, so agreed.
To some extent, Rick Minter isn't the problem, isn't to blame. Peter Voss certainly isn't to blame for any deficiencies at the quarterback position, which there weren't any, because Charlie Weiss is the quarterback's coach for all intent and purposes. So here's what I think is going on. Here's my theory. I think both of those coaches might have been a problem on the recruiting circuit. Maybe neither one of them was an effective recruiter because, you know, the assistants are just absolutely instrumental in having a successful recruiting program. And maybe Minter wasn't a good closer. Maybe he wasn't good on the recruiting circuit. Maybe Voss wasn't either. And maybe that led to their dismissal as much as anything else. Any thoughts on that?
Well, my thought is that maybe that's true of Voss. That's interesting. It really is an interesting analysis, Mike, to look at it that way. And I think it may be true of Voss. But there were other issues with Minter. I mean,
of course.
You could talk about the talent level being an issue and the speed level being an issue. But you compare the yards put against Notre Dame by USC, by Ohio State, by LSU, with other teams who are clearly well below Notre Dame in talent and did a better job on the field against those teams.
Well, hey, I'll turn it around on you. USC ripped Michigan more than they ripped Notre Dame. So and Michigan clearly is a superior to Notre Dame. I mean, you can only go so far with that.
Well, yeah, sure. That's right.
I think the point.
Wait a minute. Pulling up an isolated incident here or there to prove your point. I'm talking about a consistent pattern for 2 years of people racking up yardage on us and other defenses around the country who consistently played better against those same offenses
I disagree with you. As a pattern, Notre Dame's defense over the last 2 years consistently held their opponents to below what they were averaging against other people, with the exception of Ohio State, LSU. LSU are the two shocking ones. Michigan this past year got 21 points against the offense. And SC this year, we pretty much held SC to their season-long average. They scored 34 points and about 400 yards. That's what SC did against everybody.
The last 2 years, look at the number of kids playing wide receiver that had career days against Notre Dame's defense. North Carolina, Purdue,
these guys had big plays. That's right.
Career days against us.
That's right.
Okay, listen, I'll give you one final point on the debate here. The defense won the UCLA game, the defense won the Georgia Tech game, and the defense turned around the Michigan State game and made the plays that allowed us to win those games. My point is, it's not as clear-cut that Minter was a complete, unmitigated disaster. There's a lot of factors.
Well, nobody said that.
Well, no, there are people saying that. Maybe not you guys in the Notre Dame fan base. That is what people are saying.
It's much more understandable to see Minter go than it is to see Boston.
Right, and like I said, I think maybe recruiting has a factor in that.
Wasn't there a perception that Brady Quinn wasn't quite as sharp this year as he was last year?
Who's the quarterback coach in reality, Ed? You think Peter Voss is or Charlie Weiss?
I don't know.
Oh, come on. Charlie Weiss is.
Charlie is going to delegate.
Yeah, Voss apparently. Now, none of this is. The word is that Voss was terminated.
Did he get fired? Or did he get
he was fired.
Okay.
Charlie is going to delegate important aspects of that. He has to. He has to be the general at the top of the structure, the CEO at the top of the structure. There's no question that he is going to have a lot more hands on the quarterback role than he would on, you know, the a defensive tackle, okay? But I'm telling you, if he feels like the things I'm delegating are not getting done the way they need to be, and that's showing up on the field.
You think Brady Quinn's performance dropped off this year?
I asked a question.
Which was what?
Wasn't there a perception by a lot of people this year that there was a difference, that he was not as sharp this year?
Unjustified.
Unjustified, exactly. Yeah, I think that's
ridiculous.
Hogwash.
But, yeah.
All right, hey, we got to transition over to recruiting here real quickly before we wrap up. Notre Dame's last few prospects still left on the board. We lost a defensive tackle, Will Blackwell, to LSU, verbal to LSU over the weekend, meaning that we've brought in one D-tackle so far. We've got one more kid on the table who is unlikely to come here. So a outstanding recruiting class for the second year in a row. The obvious gap in what will be a top-10 class will be defensive line for the second year in a row. And that's a little concerning. That's a problem.
Yes.
That's a problem. An otherwise great recruiting class.
But maybe we nail that kid who's now a junior. That's going to be the top.
That's what we said last year. I mean,
let's hope.
There is just not much defensive line talent or depth on the roster, and there's not going to be for another 2 years. So
I tell you what.
That's a problem.
Yes, it is. We're in serious trouble if we don't close it. I think that was
maybe
the major problem in the defense this year. I know we could pull a trestle here.
Maybe we could pull a trestle here and go to junior college.
Right, that will happen. Okay, well, we got to wrap it up. We'll be back later in the week to talk about the Notre Dame-Villanova game, give an update on recruiting. Until then, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. If you have any questions or comments, Graham, where do we send people for questions or comments?
Info@domeanddomer.com.
Until then, I'm Mike Sullivan. For Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer, remember, I'm Dome, but they're Domer.